The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, at this time of year, it's all change as the kids go back to school, so those long summer evenings out playing with the pals are over. But who wants to go to bed early, given that although the evenings are short, they are still bright? Well, to help you with that resolution, we are joined by sleep expert Lucy Wolfe. Lucy, good morning and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Now, first of all, is it a difficult time of the year? Because you've been out playing and doing what you like.
Yes.
And then suddenly you're told, off to bed with you.
Yeah, I think it can be difficult for both parent and child, especially because although we go back to school, you know, the weather is still, you know, good. The evenings are still long and bright. And I think there's a lot of importance to that piece of, you know, your child being out and not having as many rules and regulations in general. But the problem arises that when we go back into the academic term, that we need to make sure our kids are getting enough sleep. And, you know, now we'll probably have to get up by a certain time, which then often means we need to go to bed by a certain time in order to get enough sleep. You know?
So that they were going to bed later, probably getting up later as well. So now they're going to get up early and go to bed early, but they don't want to go to bed. That's it.
And I suppose, look, going to bed is not necessarily an attractive proposition to any real child, really, you know. And I suppose I'm always talking about kind of, you know, sort of getting a buy-in from your child that they become invested in this positive.
Now, every child is different, but you have a few rules of thumb about the typical amount of sleep that any age group might require.
Well, and I suppose they're just in line with recommendations, you know, by consensus from, let's say, the National Sleep Foundation, that, you know, in a preschooler age, we're looking at somewhere between 10 to 13 hours in the overnight period. Yeah. So, you know, I suppose we're looking at the, what happens if you don't get enough sleep. And, you know, from a day-to-day basis, we might not really see the implications of it. But really what happens is that if we're not getting enough sleep, we're being compromised.
So the idea of going to bed at 7 and getting up at 8.
Well, that sounds ideal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But like in reality, we don't always hit those marks.
Okay. And if you're, say, in primary school, typically?
Yes, it's sometimes between 9 and 11 hours. You know, as we get into those teenage years where it shrinks down a little bit more.
But they still want to sleep, don't they?
Well, you see, I suppose the problem when we get into the adolescent years is that we end up, they don't want to go to bed and then they also don't want to get up. But, you know, normal life and society sort of predetermines that we have to get up at a certain time to get to the places that we're going to.
So what help can you give people who are finding currently it's hard to get the kids to go to bed? So they'll be bright and early, you know, and alert for
like
school.
I suppose if we begin to assign the level of importance sleep really deserves, because it's going to have such a positive impact on your child's learning experience and your own parenting, you know, because if they're getting enough rest, they're generally enhanced mood and behaviour, and that also has a massive impact on yours. So I guess if we reframe it and just say, look, if we're getting enough sleep, everything seems to work a little bit better. And like, you don't have to begin tonight by, you know, putting an early bedtime in place. In actual fact, I think we've got about a week before the primary schools go back into the session, and we might just start modifying the wake times. You can't really get an earlier bedtime unless you have a corresponding earlier
wake. So get them up early and they will need to go to bed.
Yeah, we need enough awake time in order to go to bed. And so if you just begin adjusting that by 20 minutes or so over the next couple of days, the key thing though is to keep it going into the weekend. And you know, we have some staggered return to school as well.
Now, are there other things that might keep a child awake? You know, because of the habits developed over the summer, the amount of junk food, convenience food that's been consumed, the amount of screen time?
A bit of everything, you know. And I suppose it's good though to have that flexibility. But now as we go into the regimes, we might again start looking at those healthy meals, regular eating patterns. Like, the sleep is determined by the sleep circadian system, and that is a rhythm, and that speaks to all the other rhythms in the body clock. And so if we can align the wake up time, exposure to bright and natural light, reinstitute, establish regular eating patterns, a revision back to slightly healthier.
I'm trying to think of people, going back to my own childhood, being sent to bed early, and that's a hell of a long time ago. But when there was light visible through the curtains and I'm in bed, I'm thinking, there's stuff going on out there and I'm missing it.
I know. And that is, so there's two parts to that. So there's the missing out of maybe what else is going on. And I suppose that's a reframe inside the family culture about what's important to you guys in terms of bedtimes and what they happen in your house outside of what's happening in the green. And I suppose the light is such a debilitating aspect of being able to get to sleep with the, and so is heat. And we've had light and heat issues all summer this year specifically. So again, making sure that the bedroom that we're sleeping in is dark, you know, exclude the light sources coming into the room, seal up anything that's coming in, blackout blinds, blackout curtains.
If you've got a dimmer in the room, you can gradually bring the light down.
Yeah, and I love the idea of a definition between, let's say we do a bedtime routine, and again, just to try and, you know, sort of encourage your child to be attracted to the bedtime process, especially if they're a little bit older, you could still be doing a bedtime routine with them where half is with the parent and the other half is a little bit more self-directed. But having like a dimmer light for the bedtime routine just helps go from bright light to dimmer light to then sleep light.
Now, some of the questions said, my just turned 6-year-old has been falling asleep about 8:30 consistently for a few years. Over the summer, it's sometimes taken until 9:30 or even 10 to get her to go to sleep, with the odd night falling asleep at 8, only the odd night at 8. She tends to wake at about 7 in the morning. Is her sleep pattern just changing, or should I try to get her back to her usual time of 8:30?
Well, you see, there's so much change occurs, and it kind of depends for this child. Is that enough sleep for her now? It feels like that's probably still a bit of a late bedtime for that particular age profile. And, you know, she's got a regular wake time. So what we might look at is, what is the light and the dark throughout the course of the day?
She says, I do keep the room dark and do a sleep routine an hour beforehand.
Yeah, so like she's hitting the sleep hygiene marks, and then I suppose you're handing the baton over to your child in order to get to sleep. So what's worth often looking at is, you know, reinventing the bedtime routine that you're doing, and might be worth initially, like if 9:30 is the time that's been showing up, is moving out your bedtime routine to correspond with that, so that it takes her quicker time to go to sleep, and then gradually bringing it forward to see if you started earlier, will she go back to sleep or go to sleep sooner in the evening time as well.
We have 3 children ranging from 9 to 4. We could count on one hand the number of unbroken nights sleep we have had. It varies which child wakes, and someone will wake. The reasons are many, but in general it seems to be for comfort. They want someone to lie with them until they go back to sleep. They nod off again and we're left with constant broken sleep. Any help would be appreciated by 2 broken, tired parents.
And you see, you know that description of broken, tired parents, because you know sometimes when you hear about parents who aren't getting enough sleep, and you know sometimes, Pat, they just say, look, that's just the way it is, you just got to get on with it. But you know, if someone is describing themselves as broken, like, that's having such an impact, isn't it, on every aspect of their parenting. So I think when you have 3 children like this family do, and you've got 3 separate sleep challenges, I actually think trying to take one off at a time is probably the only way to really do it. I see other practitioners trying to tackle, you know, 3 sleep problems all at the one go, which sounds very attractive to a parent, but actually
sort
it's too
one.
Ambitious. One at a time. It takes probably 4 to 6 weeks to get that into a working model. So my suggestion always is, pick your priority sleeper, the sleeper who is causing the most stress.
So it'll take, say, 6 weeks per child, 18 weeks, you get your nights back.
And you see, they've had, what, 9 years where it hasn't been going. And I suppose, look, it's easy for us to sit here and say, okay, within 4 months, things are going to be looking better. But you have to have day one, don't you? And I think just siphoning it off, one child, one adjustment and change, and then sleep, breathe, sleep.
Here's another one. My daughter turned 2 in May. She won't sleep beyond 3 hours alone. We put her down in her own bed. She won't settle for my husband, only for me. She wakes after 2 to 3 hours and won't settle back down unless she goes into our bed and I'm with her. The only person she'll settle for is my stepmother, who minds her a few days a week. It's so restricting. I can't go out in the evenings. The couple of times I have done, she just cries and cries and cries, and I have to come home. We've tried everything, including an expensive sleep consultant. Any advice would be appreciated.
I know. And like, again, it's so difficult. But there are always ways of improving sleep. Does that make any sense to you? And parental presence, which is what this family are alluding to, actually is a predictor for children waking up. So if the parent is present when the child is going to sleep, and then they remove themselves once the child has gone to sleep, the brain has sort of registered those conditions, and then it will keep signalling for it. Does that make any sense? So once the brain starts to transition through the major sleep phases, the brain is going to come up to the surface, check is everything. everything okay? Is it the same as it was? And when it isn't, they keep looking for the parent to kind of put in place these conditions that they went to sleep under. I always think it's about taking it in a couple of different parts. The first thing I would do here is try and work on bedtime specifically. So if we look at the whole picture of a child at this age who's waking, they are likely overtired because they have broken sleep, just like the parents. So we can make a few assumptions around this. They likely need an earlier bedtime. And this is not a popular suggestion, but if we're going to dilute an overtired theme, and if we are going to try and get closer to the sleep need, an earlier bedtime, so maybe even aiming to be asleep by 7, which often sounds so unachievable for families. But if you think about it, it is the first step towards two things, diluting the overtiredness and also beginning to understand what that child's particular bedtime might be. Once you start doing that, over the course of a week, you can begin to understand that. You can then work on easing the parent out of the context of the child's sleep. So I use my stay and support staged-based approach for that.
Well, now people can read about all of these because you're the author of two books, The Baby Sleep Solution and All About the Baby Sleep Solution, and more wisdom on lucywolfsleepplans.com.
Thank you.
People can go there and get much of the information we've imparted here. Lucy Wolfe, thank you very much for joining us. And
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.